Amen. Trying to think of anything else. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 2 talks about Isaac, which is Abraham and Sarah's promised son. Abraham and Sarah had waited a long time to have their promised son. When Abraham was 75 years old, God first revealed to him that he would be the father of many nations. When he called him to leave his country and go to a land God would show him. 15 years later, when Abraham is 90 years old, God renews his promise unto Abraham. And then 10 years later, at the age of 100, Abraham and Sarah finally had their son. Can you imagine? The promise first came at age of 75, but it was finally fulfilled when he was 100. 25 years of waiting for the promise of the promised son that God had said he would give to him. Can you imagine 25 years? Sometimes we can't wait 2 minutes at McDonald's drive-thru. They have 2 lanes to order, and can you imagine it takes more than 2 minutes? And you know, boy, and we just stomping that foot, you know, we just, come on, I have my money ready. And you know what? But you see, God wants us to have patience. God wants us to have patience. But you see, 25 years went by before finally the revealed son or the promised son came about. Now, we know, and I'm not going to get into the mistakes that Abraham and Sarah got into. They made some mistakes. I'm not going to hone in on that this morning because every one of us here has made mistakes. Oh. And still, you know. But because of the mercy and the grace of God, God still kept his end of the bargain and gave them the promised son that he said he would give to them. And they had to wait the 25 years. Now, I don't know why it took so long. If it was because of Abraham and Sarah's fault, I'm sure that's probably what it was. There was something that God had to do and continue to do till finally they could receive what God had for them. But you see, it took 25 years. Now, can you imagine if God spoke something to you today and you got it 25 years later? That's a long time, huh? That's a long time. A long time. But when God speaks something to your heart, he says something to you or to the innermost part of your being, we can rest assured that our God is a faithful God and that it will come about no matter what. It will come about. You can rest assured the promises of God that God promises to you as an individual, the things we read about in His Word, the things that He promises to Christians, to His people, to His children, His sons and His daughters, the things that He speaks to our hearts and says He will do. We can rest assured that when our God says something, when your God says something and puts it in your heart, we can rest assured that it will happen. We do not serve a God that says, maybe. Maybe. If. Maybe. You know. We can rest assured when a promise comes from heaven above that we can rest assured that our God will make it come about. All we got to do is make sure we line up with what He says to do and we follow the Holy Spirit and we do what He says to do and we can rest assured that the promises of God will rush in like a mighty rushing wind, like a mighty flood for us. It will happen. It will happen as we put our faith and trust in what He has done for us. Now, they waited 25 years. Think of all the things that God has done for you. Some things we've gotten maybe right away, huh? I mean, you know, God just, you know, you needed something and God just miraculously gave it to you somehow. Sometimes you turn around and you go, my God, what happened? You know? Think of all the things that God has given you, has blessed you with. You know? A great family. A home. A church. Great pastors. No amens. My God. Golly. But I did see. No. Great people. Amen. Love you. Just think of all the blessings that He's given to you if one day He would ask for it back. If He just says, Joe, I want this. Joe, I want this. Joe, I want this thing. And ask for it all back. Well, we can see, as we're going to read in Genesis chapter 22, how we know God gave Abraham and Sarah the gift of the promised son. Now, it was miraculous. He was 100 years old, and she's 90 years old. And God gave them a promised son from them, not anywhere else. How faithful is God? We can trust Him. Look at this. In Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, I want to stop there because if you have a Bible that I gave you, if you have that this morning, I want to make sure the word that talks about tempting, because sometimes we can have things in our minds that, you know, that's not right. It should have been translated test or prove. Okay? So, let's read verse 1 again. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son. Okay, now. What? The promised son? The one he waited 25 years for. The one he loved with all of his heart. The one he treasured. Your only son Isaac, whom you love. Now that might have been the problem there. He loved his son more than he loved God. Now, we are to love our children. We are to love our families. We are to love our spouses. And all that's correct. But yet we should never put anything above the love of our Father. Never. We should love God, what? As the Scripture says, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything within us. We're to love Him first. And let me tell you, when we fall in love with Him first, His agenda comes first. We do what He wants to do first. And God takes care of us and takes care of our families. Whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son clave the wood for the burnt offerings, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He knew that was the place. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Now catch that. He was going to offer up his son, but he says, we'll come back to you again. We will come back to you again. It's amazing. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And it says, and the angel, now it's a capital A, that means it wasn't no little peon angel, not even Michael, but it was the Lord himself. The Lord himself came down. And let me tell you, you need to get a hold of that. When you're going through something, God says to offer it up to him and give it to him, and it's hard, well, I tell you, the Lord himself will come. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come and comfort his people. We are his children. We're not just laid aside like nothing. We are his children. He comes to him. He knew this would be hard for Abraham. But it says, and the angel of the Lord came unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now he said a great thing. He said, you fear me. That means God was first now. God was first. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold himself behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. Oh, praise God, Jehovah Jireh, that's who we serve. The Lord our provider. The Lord our provider. I know a lot of you have gone through changes in your lives lately, but remember, he's Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. He will provide the things you need. He will provide what you need in your family. He will provide all that you need. He's more than enough. He's Jehovah Jireh. And as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now, here we see a great event happening. We know probably, just speculation, basically, from what I can read in Scripture, that probably God asked him to do that because maybe his son was so precious to him that it was before the Lord. And so he told Abraham, take your son. I don't know if Sarah knew for sure. I don't know. It doesn't say, you know, for sure. But they went up, and the son asked, where's the offering? You know, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham turns to him and says, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. We need to remember those words of Abraham, the Lord will provide. People, God will provide. God will provide. Say, Pastor, I'm going through a hard time. God will provide. Pastor, you don't know about my job, this situation. God will provide. You don't serve the government. You don't serve, you know, whoever down the road. You serve God. And God will provide. That's the kind of God we serve. He is Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. Not just money, but peace, joy, and abundant living for him. He will provide. And it says that the angel of the Lord came out of heaven. Abraham tied up his son, put him on the wood to offer him up. It got the attention of God Almighty that the angel, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, stepped out of heaven. Now, you know, I know he really doesn't have to do that today, you know, because the Holy Spirit is here and he is the great comforter. But the Holy Spirit, there are three, but yet one. And it says that that heavens opened and Jesus came out. And as soon as Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, that the angel stopped him and called out his name, Abraham, Abraham, I know that you fear me now. I know that you fear me now. What he was saying is, I'm first. And people, he wants to be first. You might say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? You just say, Lord, I'll serve you with all of my heart and I want you to be first, Lord. Now, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to come and he's going to do a mighty work in us. Take some things out, put some things in. But you know what? That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he loves us so much, that he cares about us, that he'll come and comfort us and help us and take things out and put things in. He'll correct us. That's his job. Thank God. Because he cares about us so much. The old slewfoot tries to redirect our lives and get our eyes off of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But God is constantly trying to get our eyes upon the cross, upon Jesus. The devil's trying to take it off. That's his job. He wants our eyes off of the one that can help us. He wants our eyes off of the one that has already conquered him. He wants our eyes off of the one that has destroyed him and will destroy him physically, but has destroyed all works of him upon the earth in our lives if we allow the cross to take full reign in our hearts and in our lives. God Almighty will do a mighty work. But he had to trust in Jesus. He went to kill him, and it stopped him. Now, I often wondered, I've heard many things about this. Well, you know, if he would have killed him, well, God could have raised him up, and that's true. That's true. But let me ask you something here. You know, we've all gone through many things, many hurts, huh? I mean, you know, we could all have the saddest story up here. one after the other, everybody would be crying and everybody would be depressed. Going on. But you know, let me ask this. If God or Jesus wouldn't have come and stopped him, and he would have killed his son and sacrificed his son, and his blood would have been all over that altar. And I know, before I even say this, that our God does not believe in human sacrifice like the pagans. That won't happen. Okay? We serve a God that cares about us and loves us. But what if God would have allowed his son to be killed by his father, Abraham? And what if God wouldn't have raised him up from the dead? And Abraham would have had to bring his son and make a grave and put his son in it and cover him up and walk away and go back to the men by himself and walk on home and tell his wife? What if that would have been the scenario? You know, we know the ending of the story. But we have to understand, God is God and he can do what he wants to do. What if that would have happened? I wonder how Abraham would have felt on the inside. Would anger and bitterness towards his God would have risen up? Would unforgiveness towards him, hatred towards God? I wonder. Unforgiveness is a horrible thing. Unforgiveness is a horrible thing. You know, I'd say, well, Pastor, you don't know what has been done to me. I understand. But unforgiveness of someone else will hurt you more severely than it will hurt that other person. Unforgiveness will destroy you or rot you from the inside out. That's why, you know, God says to take communion. You know, it doesn't say when or how much. We do it once a month. But it's a reminder that if there's anything between him and us, to ask forgiveness. That means to have the blood of Jesus come and cover us, to cover us, to cover us. Because that's what keeps the effects of the enemy. And that's what keeps the effects of him bringing destruction upon our lives. But how hard is it when something happens to us to bring forgiveness to that other person? What if Abraham would have killed his son and nothing else would have happened after that? What if? Could he have forgiven God? Or whoever else? I know it's hard. I know it's hard when injustice is brought upon you and myself. I know it's hard. I know it is. It's not easy, huh? But we know what the Scripture says. Forgive our debtors as we forgive those that have sinned against us. The great Our Father prayer. Or it even says, you know, how many times should we forgive somebody? And we all know the number. What? 70 times what? 7. And that's how many times a day? 400 and what? 90. Good job, guys. Now, okay. 490 times, you think somebody's going to sin against you that many times in a day? No. What the Holy Spirit was trying to tell His people, don't let anything stay in your heart towards anybody. Evil. Get rid of it. Now, you might say, well, the effects of it. Well, I understand that. Sometimes the effects of things may linger because it hurts when you have been deceived or laughed at or done evil to. It hurts when you stand up for righteousness and people call you evil. It hurts. It hurts when you're trying to do right and people are doing wrong and it seems like they're getting ahead further than you, huh? See, that's just the enemy blinding and trying to make you think that. That's not truth, not according to His Word. And we know God's Word is above anything and triumphs over anything upon this earth. And so, look, guys, when something happens from someone to you, right then, even if it's just in your mind and you can't speak it out, say, Father, I forgive. What you have allowed the Holy Spirit to do is come into your heart in that situation and not let, the Holy Spirit will not let that evil, whatever it is, take root in your heart. He won't allow it. Because you look into the cross. You look into Him. You're saying, Father, I forgive according to Your Word. And you're not letting it settle in. If we don't do these things, it will settle in our hearts and it will grow deep roots, which then is very hard to get rid of. The effects of it. But the scenario is, as we give it to Him and we say we will forgive, the hurt still might be there, but if we look to the cross, we look to what Jesus did, and we know what Jesus did at the cross has won victory over everything the devil has done and everything he will try to do to you and I. It stops it, and it leashes out the presence of the Holy Ghost to come and help us to gain victory in those areas. And we pray, and we just seek the God, and we ask Him to move upon that situation. And the Holy Spirit comes in our hearts and helps us. Because you see, we've all been recipients of the hurt or the pain or whatever else But also, we've all been in the place where we gave it to. Huh? Everybody do this, because it's truth. The same mercy we want from somebody else is the same mercy we have to give to the one that has hurt us. Now, look, that doesn't mean we trust. Some people I wouldn't trust 2 feet in front of me. I wouldn't trust. But that's the difference. Trust and forgiveness is totally different. We forgive because of the Word of God says so. Trust is another thing you have to gain. Gain. Also, talking about forgiveness, people, you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. When you get up in the morning, and everybody tries to look the best. I mean, you know. And that's good. That's good. You look in that mirror. Are you pleased with what you see in that mirror? I mean, you know, really. You know. Are you really pleased? You might say, well, Pastor, I know there's some work. We all have work that God has to do. But if you look in that mirror and you hate what you see, or you don't like what you see, I know that's hard, but you're saying in effect, God, you messed up. God, I'm not worthy. And the only answer is that you're going to have to forgive yourself for the mistakes and the pain that you brought maybe to you or your family or whatever situation. Just forgive yourself. Say, and you might, it's almost the same steps. It's so simple, and I know yet it's so profound, but it's yet the same thing is, Father, I forgive myself. And you look to the cross and you say, Father, what he did, what you did at the cross, what you did at the cross, Lord, what you did at the cross, not what I do, but what you did at the cross, Father, you've gained victory for me. And Lord, because of that, you love me. And Lord, I will not hold myself in bondage anymore to anything of the world's standards. See, when the lady came, or prostitute, whatever it was, whatever she was, whatever, you know, caught in adultery. And all these people had stones in their hands. That's what most believe. Ready to stone her. Ready to stone her. Where was he? Where was he? You know, takes two, you know, ready to stone her. But buddy, she came to the best place she could ever. And she must have known in her heart, he's going to help me. Because it was all men coming after her. And she ran to a man. We can always count on our Savior to run to him. Always. Always. She got to him. He didn't say a word to her at that time. It doesn't say to the end. To the end. All these guys came and accusations of what she's done and all kinds of stuff. And Jesus, being the great God Jehovah, your God, my God, stooped down and started writing. Now, honestly, we don't know what he wrote. Some have speculations about certain things, you know, whatever. But whatever he wrote hit their hearts and they ran. Buddy, when we give the situation to God, when we go to God, he starts writing on our hearts and changing things on the inside of us, forgiving us. Those guys left and Jesus said, go and sin no more. My, he changed her life. Forgive yourself. And she was guilty. Let's face it. She was guilty. Oh. Just as we are guilty. We are guilty. And the penalty for sin is death. We're guilty. We're guilty. We're guilty. But yet there's a difference with God's children. Because we are guilty, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, we can trust in Him, and He takes on the guilt. He takes on the penalty. He takes on the sins of the world as we give it to Him. And we become as white as snow, as David went before God and said, "Father, forgive me for the sin that I have done. Forgive me, Lord." And God had mercy upon him. You can read it upon David when he messed up. God still has mercy towards us. Not that we take on a position where I can do anything now. We have some Christians like that. It's sad. Well, I can do anything. God will forgive me. No. He will forgive you, but you will pay the penalty. Some of it. The effects of it sometimes lingers on. Now, God can cut it, and God can solve it, and God can lessen it. But we have to trust in Him as we put our faith in the cross. Don't let anything take root. Forgive yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. And forgive other people. You don't have to trust them. You don't have to invite them to your house. You don't have to give them anything. All you got to do is forgive. And when you forgive them, the mercy of God is extended towards them. That's all. That's all. That's what. And the Spirit of God will continue to work and move in our hearts and in our lives. In our hearts and in our lives. Let God be God in you. Don't let anything stay in, because the longer it stays, the more root it has on the inside. Just go to say, "Father, you see this thing." I mean, look, pray. Ask, say, "Lord, show me things." Because honestly, I could show you. When we think we're all right, and we are with God because of His mercy, there are still things in our hearts that God has to work, because we're a mess. As a human beings, we are in a mess because of the sin nature on the inside of us. It's a mess. It's a mess. But God takes a mess and makes it worth something, because He loves you and I so much. He cares about us. Amen. Well, amen. Why don't you stand, please? I've gone over a few minutes. Amen. Amen. And next time. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Would you please just bow your head? You can put the music on low. You know, if you're struggling with something, unforgiveness towards someone, or unforgiveness even towards yourself, I would like to pray with you. I won't have you come up, because, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you need prayer this morning, would you please raise your hand for that area this morning? I see your hand. 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 Anyone else? Come on. Come on. God knows. I see your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Amen. Amen. Let's all raise our hands towards heaven this morning. Just a form of surrender to our Heavenly Father. Lord God, you see those hands that were raised, Lord. And Lord God, they know that you are the only solution. You are the only solution. Father, I would pray right now that you would help them to get to a place where they will say, I forgive them, whoever it is, or, Lord, I forgive myself. And Father, that Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be released upon their lives, Lord God, that the power of your anointing would be upon them, and that you will help them. You will help them to be free, Lord God, of all those things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you need to forgive somebody, just say, Lord, I forgive, and call that name out. It doesn't have to be loud, just very low to yourself. Or if you need to forgive yourself, say, Father, I forgive, and name your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the healing power of God that's being released upon your people, Lord God. From this day forward, the entanglement will not entangle them anymore, Lord God. But Father, they would be released from this thing from this day forward. That the peace of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God would be upon their lives this day in those areas, Lord God, as they trust in Calvary and what you did at Calvary's cross, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to make sure before we leave, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to do so this morning, would you indicate to me by raising your hand and we will pray with you. We will pray the sinner's prayer this morning. Just making sure. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Father, I thank you for your people, Lord God. And Father, I just pronounce a blessing upon them. That Father, in everything they do this week, that it will be blessed of you. From their work to their home, to their families, Lord God, that the anointing of God would rest upon their lives, Lord God, and you will be with them. Lord, protect each and every one of us as we go home today. And Lord God, we thank you for who you are this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, we appreciate you guys, Jelaine and I. We love you, and we thank God for you, and we pray you have a great week this week. All righty. See you Wednesday. We have Bible study Wednesday at 7. And Miss Gail's Bible study is Thursday at 7. Okay. And then next Sunday morning. God bless you.